Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, March 3, 2024, is by Jess Bouchard on the topic of pronouns and identity.
Thank you so much for having me today. My name is Jess Bouchard. I use she, her pronouns. I'm with Queer Connect. I've been with Queer Connect for 3 years. And as Julie shared, I'm a teacher turned principal this year, and so I'm really happy to be here and to talk about pronouns and why they matter and why pronouns are a deep part of our identity. So Julie's helping me with some clicking. Thank you. So when we talk about identity today, I'm really specifically talking about the sense of who we are as individuals. We are each an individual of the world. We are also within the world, and so we collectively are amongst each other, and we exist in kind of two spaces, how we see ourselves and how we kind of blend into society. So in order to talk about identity and to talk around LGBTQIA topics, I do have a few terms that I want to dig into. Before we get there, though, I am going to ask that we take a moment. I'm a teacher. Reflection is important. And I think that you folks do a really excellent job of thinking inward. And so I'm going to ask that we take a moment, and I'm going to ask you this question. When you think of your own identity, how would you best describe yourself? What are the words that come to your mind when you're thinking about your identity? I'm going to have you take a moment to think about how would you describe yourself to other people, and what are those words? Some of us might be thinking about heritage. Some of us might be thinking about our skin color. Some of us might be thinking about our relationships. Some of us are mothers and fathers, sisters, aunts. Some of us are teachers. But let's take a second to just dig into that with ourselves. And I do wonder if there's anyone out there, maybe three volunteers, that would like to share one thing about their identity. Maybe something we wouldn't know about you, or maybe it is something we know about you. But if I could have three volunteers, those in person and then on the screen, I can cold call. That's a teacher move. I can just kind of point to you. What do we think? When we think about our identity, what's a word? What's a word that we associate ourselves with? I see a hand over here.
Creator.
Okay. Creator. What about here?
Advocate.
Okay. Right here.
Curious.
And I saw maybe a little hand over here.
Retired.
I love that for you. And right behind you, I think you had a little hand too.
Communicator.
Okay. I love these words. When I think of my own identity, I'm going to tell you one of the words that comes to my mind most. I'm a queer person. Okay. I'm a queer person of the earth. I identify as LGBTQIA, and I'm almost 40, and I can tell you that if I didn't have the adults in my life to lean in, show me compassion, I don't know if I would be here, right? And it's our job to hold space for folks across all spectrums, but also our creators and our retired folks and our communicators, and all of the people of this space, we are our own person, okay? So the terms that I want to talk about today, you can flip to the next one. There's a term called SOGI. So I'm going to be teaching today. So part of why I'm here is to teach and to educate and to give you some little seeds to go out into the world. So you might be familiar with LGBTQIA. LGBTQIA is kind of an intersectional term for gender, sexual orientation, and folks who belong to that category of people. The word SOGI is made up of some of those things. And so when I talk about pronouns today, I want to keep in mind different parts of that. So the beginning of SOGI is S-O, and I put the red for heart, because when we're talking about sexual orientation, we are talking about a person's romantic and emotional space, and how we hold space for other folks. And so some of us might identify in the room as heterosexual. Some of us might identify as queer, bisexual, lesbian. There's so many terms, and I don't want to educate you on those terms. I just want you to know that our heart is what leads us in the way that we show love. So SO is for sexual orientation. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Thank you. And then the GI, here, the GI goes to gender identity. So I go from the heart to the soul, right? The soul's within us, but I'm going to use my head as the home for my soul. And it's one's internal sense of their gender as defined by that individual person, which can differ from the sex assigned at birth. We're not talking about body parts right now. We're really talking about how do I feel in my body and how do I represent myself? And so some of those terms you might be familiar with is cisgender. Cisgender, I'm a cisgendered person. I was assigned female at birth, and I identify as a female. Non-binary people are people who are not either. They don't feel male or female. They just feel person. I'm a human. Other people might identify as transgender. That might be a person that was born and assigned one sex at birth. And then as they get to know themselves, realize that doesn't match me, right? The way that I was given and assigned this gender at birth or this sex at birth does not align with who I see myself as. Not all of these terms I'm going to go into, but I do just want to let you know that gender identity is individual to the self. And if there's one thing that I want every person in this room to walk away with today is that you cannot look at somebody and determine their gender. You might think that I look like a female because I represent myself that way, but that does not mean that that's actually how I identify, right? And so when we are moving around every single day, we want to get out of the habit of saying she and him and just having words and tools so that we don't have to do that. There are times in my life that I've been called other pronouns and other genders, and that's okay with me. It doesn't really bother me too much. But I want to get into the habit as a collective people that we aren't making those kind of stereotypical impulsive moves of just assuming someone's gender. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And then the last one, so SOGIE, is now the expression, the gender expression, which is the physical manifestation of one's gender identity through clothing, hairstyle, voice, body, and shape. And so this is now the expressive part. We went from our heart and how we feel and love other people. We went to our soul of how do we feel about ourselves. And now we're going to express that. And so everybody here made some really bold choices today in what you're wearing. And I love it. You're a colorful bunch. You made these choices for yourself and how you express yourself. And so we all have that ability to make those choices for ourselves. And that's for us. We're the gatekeepers of our person. The last one is gender nonconforming. And this is when we have people who don't align with societal expectations. These are people who are making choices every single day to not be a part of a binary system, which is what tells us that we are male and female. Folks who do not conform, they are truly people who are saying, I don't represent what society thinks of me. And so I'm making choices for myself that are just in alignment with my expression. Okay, go ahead. So now I want to talk about what are pronouns. I think 100% of us could tell me. You have all been to grammar school. You could tell me what a pronoun is. A pronoun is a word that we use in place of a noun, which refers to the people that we're talking to or about. So the I and the you, the she, the them, the they, the he. But I'm going to tell you that when you are thinking about someone's pronouns, as we are talking about LGBTQIA topics, I'm not actually talking about grammar. Right? And if we are getting lost in the grammar, I'm going to give you permission, folks. You don't have to think back to second and third grade curriculum when you were learning this. I actually want you to detach from that because now we're talking about the way that people refer to themselves, and sometimes it doesn't match those rules. So the most common ones, she, he, and then I want to talk about the they, because they, I can tell you, what grammar taught us is that they refers to a collective people. And in 2024, when I hear the word they, most often I'm thinking that it's actually about a singular person. So she, the object is her, the possessive is hers, the he, the him, the his. And I want to go to the they. If I said they want us to call them, their book comes in, that one is theirs. Sometimes we're talking about a collective people, but we're also talking about people who are non-binary, people who are not male or female, and so they are using this word as a singular person. My spouse is a trans person of the earth. They've changed their pronouns over time to match who they are, but I have many people in my life who use they, them pronouns, and so I'm at a place now that I actually don't have to practice anymore. It's just a part of my being. Again, but my hope for you all is that we can move through this space today and start practicing using they. Next slide. So the singular they, so I want to just like go back in history. So if you're just like, Jess Bouchard, hold the phone. This is not what I learned about in elementary school. I actually want to tell you that we actually used to use they many, 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 many years ago. Shakespeare. Some of our first and earliest people who were developing plays and using their characters in such a way, we used to use they all the time, right? It was a part of the English language. We were using they to talk about anyone who was kind of genderless. And someone like Shakespeare would have used characters in a way that were non-binary. He was writing characters because at some time, men were not, offered positions to tell stories, oral stories, or, you know, at different times that women were representing men. And so we would just use they. So if you were asking me, like, I'm having a hard time, like, thinking back to my English teacher, I'm just asking you to think and recognize that this is actually not new to us. We can go to the next slide. Thank you. So this is where it gets tricky, okay? And I don't actually want to teach you about this today. I just want you to know it. Just know that pronouns go beyond just she and he and they. You're going to do a good job and leave here and ask people their pronouns every single time you meet them and learning them, and you're going to learn that some people actually don't use the ones that I just talked about. There are some people that use pronouns like they or ze or a, and that's tricky, even for someone like myself. When I meet somebody, the first thing I do, and I hope you heard it, I was trying to model for you. I introduced myself and I said, my name is Jess Bouchard, I use she, her pronouns. And so when you are meeting someone for the first time, my hope is that, Diane, and all people here, that you can approach someone and say, hi, my name is Diane and I use she, her pronouns. And you're modeling for somebody else so that they do the same. So there's no confusion. But then every once in a while, you're gonna have someone that says, hi, my name is Jess, and I use they pronouns. And you're going to say, huh, that's interesting. And you can ask them. People want to talk about it. They don't want you to mess up, right? They want to educate you. And so they can then say, ah, interesting. Can you tell me about they? Can you tell me about they, right? People want to talk about it, and they want to educate. So this is where I want to talk about, like, why does this really matter to us? And so I love this quote. It comes from Out and Equal, and it says, much like our individual names, pronouns are tied to our deepest sense of identity, head and heart. They articulate who we are and how the outside world should recognize and address us. And so just like your name and just like all of the other identifying pieces of you, our pronouns really matter. This is a workbook that if the UU really wanted to get this right, I would recommend, maybe Queer Connect might be able to make some donations to your personal library here. This book called Trans Allyship Workbook by Davey Schlosko. I think that, I have talked to Davey through email before. They live in Western Massachusetts and they do a lot of trainings. But this is from their book about why pronouns matter. And I wanna talk about impact now. So when we are getting someone's pronouns wrong or we are actively trying to get it wrong, and I can tell you, I've been in the company of many people who identify as trans or non-binary, and I've actively heard people refusing to use pronouns and refusing to use their name, right? The name that they like to be called. These are some of the things that that these folks are impacted by. It's annoying. Sure, it's annoying. My name is Jess, which is short for Jessie Lynn. When people call me Jessica, it's an annoyance, right? when people get our names and pronouns wrong, it's annoying. So first and foremost, it's just annoying. Second, it's confusing. If I'm identifying as a trans person of the earth, and I am expressing myself in the way that I perceive myself, and other people are not with me, that's confusing. When family members are doing this, it's confusing. It makes folks feel invisible, right? It means that my life matters less than other people because somebody can't even get my name right or my pronoun or try it, right? I've been at family gatherings of people who will try to get it right, but not hard enough, right? So it makes people feel invisible. It feels disrespectful. That makes sense. Feels disrespectful. It makes us feel unsafe. It makes us feel unsafe because I don't believe that the people who are trying to get it right. Sorry, let me try this again. There's a lot of negatives here. If you are a person who is actively not trying to make someone feel safe, that tells me your intention, right? It makes me feel harmed. Being outed to observers who aren't aware of trans status, and sometimes, folks, this is where it gets really tricky. I have students at BART. I have 362 students under my building, and I have probably about 50 students who are outwardly trans, and I have about 10 of them who do not tell their parents. That is a hard space to be as an adult who is trying to not out students, who is trying to affirm them in our building, recognize that they don't want to use those pronouns at home because it's unsafe. And so there are times, though, that we actively harm people by not knowing it. When we are outing someone, maybe, that doesn't know that. And so this is what I would do. If you meet somebody, especially a young person, not always a young person, but I would say young people most often, you're meeting them for the first time, they say, you know, pronouns that might be non-binary, or they might tell you that they are a trans person. My first question on a private conversation is saying, hey, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I'm really happy that you told me. Do other adults know? And they might say, yeah, everybody knows. I'm like, great. Lovely. You've done my job. But sometimes these kids are going to say, no, not everybody knows. And I told you because I believe you're a safe person. And so you then have to take a moment to just remember those details. And I get it. That's really tricky. But again, we are affirming people, and we want to make sure that we are making people feel safe, cared for, and loved. We can go to the next one. So respecting a non-binary youth's name and pronouns can be life-saving. The Trevor Project is a national organization that specifically works with youth, LGBTQIA youth. They have a suicide crisis hotline. They are meant to be an advocacy group for trans people. And I just want to go to my next slide. I'm not sure if anyone knows about this young person, Next Benedict. It's been all over the internet. Anyone who is saying yes to me, I'm like, ooh, look at you tech people. This is big news right now. This young person, a non-binary youth, died because of their trans status. This is why I'm a principal. These are the kids that are in my building that I train my teachers to hold space for and care for our kids across all things. This child was in a bathroom and attacked by three students that beat them up so profoundly. The principal didn't do anything about it. The nurse didn't do anything about it. Other children didn't do anything about it. No adult in this building took the time to check in with the student. And I can tell you, if these things happen at my school, someone is hurt in a bathroom, there's a whole lot of things I got to do legally, right? I need to have them assessed by the nurse before anything else, assessed by the nurse. I might actually call 911 and have medical people from the outside come in and assess our kid. I'm calling home. I'm letting them know what happened. I'm giving parents the agency to make choices, but I'm giving them medical kind of oversight to make those choices. This kid had not a trusting adult who did anything. So then this kid went home, who had parents that were trying their best to support a trans kid. This kid ended up going to the hospital, and then they died. They died because, there's a whole host of things that happened. And so when I tell you that getting pronouns right for youth matters, it matters for all of us because we are youth at some point, and then we become adults. And so our job really is to get it right. And so I wanted to just take a moment because this happened in the last 2 weeks. And if you didn't know about this child, now you do. And we just need to collectively do better for our youth and for our people. So using those pronouns, asking and sharing. So now I'm giving you a tool, okay? We're going to practice. Right here, there's a bubble. And down below, I'll talk to that piece in the yellow. That's actually very important to me. But the one in yellow says, "Hey there, I'm Jay, and I use they, them pronouns. It's nice to meet you. What are your pronouns?" At BART, we do something called mock interviews every year for our seniors. And we have agencies from the outside come and give mock interviews to our students. And I train 100% of my seniors to walk up to an adult, shake their hand, and say, "Hi, my name is Jess. I use she, her pronouns. What are your pronouns?" Because I want people to start practicing this. And so if this is not part of your, like, everyday, I hope that it is. Try it out. Go to the grocery store. You see someone's name tag, and you're like, "Hi, Amber. My name is Jess. I use she, her pronouns. What are yours?" Right? Let's make it normal. So that's an example. And below, you might notice, if you are someone who is still actively working in the community, I think we're getting better in 2024. Your employer might have paperwork that says, "What are your preferred pronouns?" I want to be actually even more intentional. I don't love the phrase "preferred pronouns," because what does "preferred" mean? It is a choice. My pronouns are a choice, and they're not, right? They are not a choice. Avoid using phrases like "preferred pronouns," because that is someone trying to get it right, but then also saying, what is your choice of pronouns? Like, it's a menu, right? No menu. Let's get it right the first time. And you can say something like, "What are your pronouns?" Actually, that's usually what I say. Sometimes people might say, "What are your correct pronouns? What are your correct pronouns?" But let's just keep it simple. What are your pronouns? Okay, go ahead, next slide. Okay, I have just a couple minutes left, and I want to be mindful of time. Pronouns, we're going to get them wrong. I'm up here giving you a presentation. I get them wrong sometimes. I still do. Let's give you an equation, okay? If you get it wrong, apologize. Not with lots of excuses or justifications of like, "Oh, I should have remembered." It's truly just quick. It's, "I'm so sorry. I just got your pronouns wrong." Instantly fix it. Fix it in the moment so you are acknowledging to them, "I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it right." And then move on. And I'm going to tell you, this is the same equation for most things in life. If you've harmed somebody, apologize. Fix it in the moment and then move on. That is the most direct way to correct impact and harm. So just a quick practice. So she stopped by earlier, and then somebody else is going to say, it's he, they're correcting you. And then you're gonna say, "Oh, I'm sorry. He stopped by earlier to drop something off. I've acknowledged my harm, I fixed it in the moment, and I've moved on," okay? You don't have to over-apologize. That to me is like a shame response, and it's telling me that you have a lot of things to process with yourself. We don't need that. Just move on. Okay. go ahead. Next slide. Okay. Practice. These are actually, this is the cat of my colleague, Alyssa from ACT Bennington, who's also on our board. And so when she made this slide previously, when we gave another presentation, she said, "Practice at home." Right? You don't have to do this out loud. Start calling your appliances different pronouns. Right? Walk up to them and you can say, "Hey, Stan, my name is Alyssa, and I use she, her pronouns. What is yours?" And Stan's going to say, "Hi, my name is Stan. I use they, them, and sometimes I use she, her, depending on the day." Practice. Practice with your cat, your animals. Practice with other people. Have new people over to your home, and you can address your animals in different ways and just be like, "Hey, this is Max, and Max uses they, them pronouns." And your guest is going to say, "Huh." And you're going to practice. You can practice. Start practicing in ways that allow you just, the opportunity to say those words that might not be normal. And, excuse me. Words that may not be practiced enough in my mouth, right? Just get into the practice. I think we have just one more slide. Wonderful. I have 30 seconds. If there's any one way that I can give you tips, it's to start integrating this into your own life. Again, I can be looking at all of the people in my space and determining, because of what society told me should be your gender, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not assuming anything about anybody in here. And so let's give the opportunity to practice by changing the names in our badges. The badges in front of me have no pronouns. I would do that. If you want Queer Connect to reprint all of these with your pronouns, I think that would be fantastic. Number one, get those pronouns out there so that we're looking at them and normalizing pronouns. If you're on Zoom, people on Zoom, use your pronouns in your Zoom line, right? That way, when you are coming on screen, you are already saying it matters to me. When I see pronouns on things, I can already tell you 100% of the time, people are thinking, yes, like these people care. They are compassionate. When I don't see pronouns, it just tells me we have some work to do. If you're on email, subject line, even your personal email, at the bottom of your email, and if you need help, I can help you. If you have a Gmail account, we can go into the settings and we can change it. But I think putting your pronouns right there is a really helpful thing to do. Wear a pronoun pin. So Queer Connect also can make pronoun pins if you want to wear them as you are out in the world, on your coats, on your bags. I think that is helpful. Correct misgendering when you hear it. If you are in the community and you hear somebody else misgendering someone, it's not us trying to penalize anybody else. It's just helping them get it right. Correct them in the moment. And if it's more helpful, lean back and just say, hey, that's not the right pronoun, right? Get into the habit. And then lastly, keep thanking people when they share their pronouns, okay? So I'm going to practice right now. My name is Jess Bouchard. I use she, her pronouns. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate you.